You know, God works all things for good, doesn't he? Works all things together for our good. So maybe it was meant for this message to be also taught here today. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for working all things for our good. I think you, Father, have a sense of humor, and maybe you chuckled yesterday. You know, you made me, so I know you got a sense of humor. But we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the mercy, the traveling mercy. And we thank you for your word. And especially we thank you for your son, that your word exegetes him. And this whole book is about him and you and your Holy Spirit. So I pray your Holy Spirit would just teach through me today, that everyone would be encouraged, challenged, if they need comfort. You know what we all need, Father, and we all need growth. So I pray this message and also the pastor's message later would your Holy Spirit would use it powerfully. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So again, the name of my message is, Do You Want to Be Transformed? And then my second question would be, are you willing to do what it takes to be transformed? Because a lot of times we want something, right? But we're not willing to do it. Now, what I want to say, I'm talking about spiritual growth, you know, being transformed, thinking more like Christ, having the mind of Christ, thinking more like God. And we can't make ourselves grow. That's got to be God. It's God who works in us both to will and to do according to his good pleasure, right? But we can do the healthy things. So we'll go to the word. So God's word in our mind should be transforming us more and more as we study it rightly divided. That's the purpose of it. It's not to just do mental gymnastics and to be able to impress people with how much we know. Oh, we know how to rightly divide the word, right? It should be to get to know God, to know Christ as our life more, and then we know we rightly divide it. Why? So we can know God's will and know how to grow in the age of grace that we live in, right? So it's knowing God's word and studying it, that's the first thing. And along with prayer is how we grow more intimate with God. We're spending time with him. He's talking to us in his word. We're talking to him as we learn his will, and we're praying his will back to him. And also, God wants to hear from us our hurts, our struggles, and the things we're having victory in. He wants to rejoice with us. He wants us to come to him. He's our Heavenly Father. And he wants us to spend time with him. And that's such a privilege if you think who God is. What did David say? You know, who art man that thou should are mindful of him? You know, it's such a pleasure and a privilege to have a relationship with our Heavenly Father. He knows you better than anybody. You're never alone, because if you're a believer, his Spirit lives in you, right? Scripture talks about Christ in you, God in you, the Holy Spirit in you. So let's go to 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Excuse me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17 and 18. Thank you for bringing the water up, Jake. My stepson doing my ministry this morning. Ministry of serving, right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. And I don't feel so bad. The pastor was telling me, even in the bulletin, he gets dates mixed up on, you know, when he's supposed to go somewhere. And, well, I won't say anything. I won't mention names, but a certain church secretary sometime proofreads and even misses things. So we're all human, right? Anyway.
It's all his own fault.
All right, 2 Corinthians 3, 17 and 18. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So you think about it in grace. Grace frees us, right? It frees us from sin by the power of the cross. It frees us to serve. It frees us from being afraid we can lose our salvation, because when we go to Paul's epistles, we find out we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, right? At the moment of faith. And check this out. But we all, with open face, beholding. Now that beholding is the idea of keeping our mind locked on. Our minds locked on. With open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord. So as we're focused on Christ, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. And how's that happen? Even by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, does that just happen, you know, can you just take one verse and say, see, the Spirit of the Lord has just changed me more and more in the image of Christ. Well, where will you be beholding Christ at? When you're in the Word. You're beholding, you're learning the mind of Christ, right? And so, as we're beholding Him, and then we're meditating on God's Word, what we're studying, like, when you leave church, you should think about the message. Because, you know, if sometime, you know, you'll go see somebody, and what was the message about, and what do? I don't remember. But if you take notes, you can glance over them notes, right? And so it's through the Word of God, and we're seeing Christ in His heavenly ministry, right? Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5, I think 16, that, actually, go to it. 2 Corinthians 5, 16. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh. Where's that? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? When Christ came in the incarnation and He lived, He was always God, but He lived as a man, right? So He took on a human flesh, but without sin. So we know Him about in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, yet henceforth we know Him no more. How do we know Him? As head of the body, right? In Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Christ is teaching Jews under law. He said, I didn't come to do away with the law, but to fulfill it, right? So in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, He's teaching Jews under law. And now we can learn there's principles there that are transdispensational. You know, all scripture is God-breathed, right? It's profitable, but you, if you don't really divide it, you're not going to get the profit that God desires us to do. So we know Christ now, not before He died, after He died, He was buried and He rose, according to the scriptures, and He ascended and He's glorified at the right hand of the Father, right? An authority high above all principalities, powers, and mights. And Ephesians 2:7 says what? And we're seated with Him. That's where in our union with Christ. You know, in so many churches today, you know where they're teaching out of? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Or if you want to really get popping at the Pentecostal charismatic churches, they're in the book of Acts, early Acts, right? And you got to watch Acts. Somebody, another preacher said, Acts will give you the Acts. Because if you're going there for your doctrine, Acts is a transitional book. Did you know that? It's going from Israel's program to the body of Christ program, from law to grace. Earthly kingdom program to God's heavenly program, right? So there's all kinds of transitions. So don't try and go there to find doctrine for today. And so we know Christ now what? According to, as head of the body. We're many members, right? Members of the body of Christ. Many members. We're one in Him, He's our head, and we also are connected to one another. Look at the person next to you and just say, You're part of me. I'm part of you. Okay? We are. Even if you don't like each other. You know, I always say we don't gotta... God calls us to love each other, right? He didn't say you gotta like each other. But sometimes when you love people and you get to know them, you ever meet somebody and you couldn't stand them? My best friend, he was like a big mouth. And I don't like big mouths, you know. And I didn't like him when I first met him. I would kind of avoid him. Then I got to know him. And then I loved that guy. We became like best of friends. Huh? So we see that we're changed into the, as we're focused on Christ, and as we're into the Word, see, the Word of God that worketh spiritually energizes you. It's the Word of God that renews our mind and we're transformed. Right? So what's that tell us? If you want to be transformed, then what do you got to do? Study the Word. And I would encourage you to read some good books by Sound Grace authors, because you'll learn, you know, God's gifted different men and women He's gifted too, that you can learn from. You know, different principles. You know, nobody's got it all, right, except God. And so we learn. And so, but the main thing, some people read books, but they don't get into the Word that much. You know, some people say, oh, I just get in the Word of God. Well, that's fine. That's most important. But you can also learn. You know, I did three or four sessions. It was a whole day-long seminar on freedom from depression. Well, I'm going to have that all typed up, and then I'm going to use that for my book, Freedom from Fear and Depression, God's Way. And so we can learn, right? We can learn from each other. You know the best counseling tool? The body of Christ. Because we all been through different things, right? Amen. And what scriptures say? The God of all comfort who comforts us, God of all comfort and mercy that comforts us, that we might be able to, and all of our troubles, that we might be able to comfort those who are going through any troubles. So that's why, you know, I believe everybody has at least one inward spiritual gift. I dealt with that on the Thursday night Facebook Bible study. You know, you have pastors and teachers, so that's my gift. So that's, I'm available here and depend on the Holy Spirit. Yours might be encouragement or mercy. Mercy is like being there for people. You know, there's different ones. You can read about them in Romans. We see we want to, when you stay in the Word, you're going to stay focused on Christ. Amen. Because it's all about Christ. Yes. From Genesis to Revelation, the beginning to the end. The history of the Bible, it's His story. You know, Christ's story. So let's go to Romans 12, 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I already kind of mentioned this, but I think it's good to go to the verses. That's what's good about Les Feldick. If you watch his program, which I do, and also Transformed by Grace by the Berean Bible Society, they put up the verses. And Les Feldick told the guy, I want more verses up than you're showing me. See, because the Word of God works, right? I remember I took my younger sister. She had fear. I mean, bad anxiety attacks. She just would want to jump out the window. And I took her to that week-long, or remember where we went? It was a seminar about grace. And she said she saw the verses up. He had a big screen as he's teaching. And she got freed from that fear in that week. And she learned to understand grace and God's perfect love cast out fear, right? It was a beautiful thing, you know. So Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, that's grace talk. Not I command you, God's going to punish you if you don't. I beseech you, I urge you. Therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, and that can be translated loving kindnesses. So when I look at that and I think of God's mercies, he's a God of all mercy, right? He's a merciful God. He don't give us what we deserve. See, that's mercy is you not getting what you deserve. What do we deserve? Hell. We deserve punishment too, right? Because every day, in one way or another, we sin, if not maybe outwardly, inward attitudes, right? And so God don't give us what we deserve. And grace is he gives us what we don't deserve. We're Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Lord of our and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, right? That's grace. So when I think of these things, this makes me want to do this. And this is what I wake up every morning, and I can and from my bed, I can, there's like a little window like that, and I see the sun rising if it's early. And whether it is or not, whether it's dark out, I'm like, Lord, I just offer myself to you in view of your mercies, your love, your grace. I want to offer my body and everything, my mind, my heart, my soul, my spirit, as a living sacrifice. I want to serve you. Use me today, Lord, to touch people's lives. And this is what this is Paul's calling us to. This is what true worship is. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present. Do you notice something? What's present mean? I want to. You know, it's not I have to. We don't have to serve God. He's not going to punish you if you don't. But I'll tell you, we miss out on a whole lot of things when we don't. The joy of God using you, that meaning and purpose to wake up every day and know why you're here. It's for God in you and Christ in you to express itself out of you. The world don't know why they're here. You know what man's looking for? Why am I here? Right? What's my purpose here? And then you get into human philosophies, right? Or religions and man-made religions and traditions that are handed down. But they can't really satisfy. And we have a need for unconditional love and acceptance. So in Christ, we find meaning, we find purpose, we find unconditional love and acceptance. We're accepted by God and his beloved Son, right? We're blessed people, man. Can you say hallelujah? Amen. Amen. So he says that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And the idea there is reasonable or logical. It means it makes sense when you think about it. That's why you need to meditate on God's word. Can I ask you a question? When's the last time you memorized the verse or tried to? Don't say it out loud. It's just something to think about, right? That idea, it's reasonable or logical. And that word service has the idea of spiritual worship. So when we offer our bodies to God, that's worship. It's not just in church, you know, people say, oh man, we had a great worship service. Man, it was popping and people are falling and, you know, blah, blah. Or the music was going and I felt so good. Well, it's fine when you're praising God if you feel good, because it should bring joy to your heart because you're focused on Christ, on God, right? But it ain't, when you're praising God, it ain't for you. It's for him. And when you're praising and focused on him and you're serving him, what's the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace. All the way down, you're going to have self-control in your life. All right? And ain't them things you want? You ever get have your life out of control? I have. I remember as a young Pentecostal under legalism, and I would walk the aisle. They'd say, walk the aisle and recommit your life to. I would do it every week. And, you know, if everybody's honest, and the whole church would have been walking up there, you know. But it was focused on your failures. That's what legalism does. And then I would feel good, but then what happened? Monday came. See, that false teaching won't work when you look at the reality of life. Because a lot of times life's great, right? I'm an optimist, but I'm also a realist. Sometimes it ain't. Sometimes it's tough, ain't it? To deal with. And if you don't get sound grace doctrine and build that edifice of sound grace doctrine in your soul, in your spirit, you're not going to have stuff to draw upon during the week when you're facing stuff. When you're out there with unbelievers, church, you know, we get together, hey, you know, we encourage each other, and it's easy, you know. But when you get out there in the world, it ain't that easy, right? If you got to work with people that like to make fun of you, oh, you want them Jesus freaks, huh? I'll say you're very observant. Because a freak is somebody who's different. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. No wonder the world thinks we're freaky. Yeah? You know why? Because we're able, when we're walking in the Spirit, to function the way God designed man to function. And, you know, even the dysfunctionals, that's somebody, remember that Adam, God breathed the breath of life in Adam, and Adam became a living soul. He breathes his spirit. When he sinned and rebelled, the Spirit of God left him. Now man's got a human spirit that's empty from the life and the influence of God and his spirit. He's got a soul, mind, emotion, will, and he's got a body, but he can't function the way he was designed because he don't have the life of God in him. Well, when we're walking in the Spirit, and that's what coming and or studying the Word on your own, rightly dividing it, coming and having that doctrine you've been studying stirred up and bringing animation in your life while we assemble together, right? Well, then unbelievers look at you and you're freaky because you're functioning. They don't get it. But the more consistent we are and focused, none of us ain't perfect, right? And it's probably good that we're not, because then nobody could relate to us, right? You ever been around somebody who just seems perfect? You know. Remember Christ's brothers and sisters? What'd they say? They told him, why don't you go up to Jerusalem? In other words, go get killed. Well, how'd you like a perfect brother? Mary maybe saying, why don't you be more like Jesus? You know. You know, that's, if you had like an older sibling that was, you know, responsible, man, and you're this screw up, you know. So when we're focused and learning and growing, because that's what happens when we do healthy things, then people are going to see a person that can function, and they're going to be, it's weird to them, but they're attracted to it. Because our life's adorned the gospel. Ain't that what adorning means? It's making it attractive. Why do women put on, I ain't talking about these long eyelashes out to here now, but you know, nice makeup and stuff, because they're adorning themselves, say, for their husband, and they should. You know, especially after you get married. Because before you get married, everybody, you go out, you know, guys dress good, no stains on his shirt, you know. The woman's out, but all of a sudden you get married, you know, and it's the, what was that guy? Stick his hand in his pants.
Married with children.
It can become like that. See, you have to work at marriage. You know, you still have to date each other. You got to romance each other. You got to compliment each other. Women, do you know men want to be your hero? And you know, men, women want to be the most important next to, after God, the most important thing in your life. They want to know they can have different power, be in your life, even if they don't want to be in that area. Yeah. So men need what the most? Respect. Where do we find that out? Wives, submit or respect your husband, right? And it also calls husbands to respect their wives. But it says husbands love your wife. So what does a woman need the most? To be loved. Even when she don't deserve it. Right? So, look in verse 2 now. And be not conformed to this world. What is this world? They're selfish, right? Hey, if you don't look out for yourself, ain't nobody can look out for it. I got to love myself more, or I can't love somebody else. No, we love ourselves too much. People will steal things from other people. Why? Because they love themselves, right? Why do so many arguments in relationships? Because I want it my way. We want a Burger King thing, right? Have it your way. You deserve it, right? But we don't want to be conformed thinking. You know, a Christian's life should be one of service. Serving God, a grace believer's life. And serving one another. That's why find out, be available, and look out when there's opportunity to do ministry. Say, in the assembly, or youth out there in yours, and serve one another. Because that's what love does, right? It does what's best for the one being loved. And so he says, excuse me, and be not conformed to this world. So how do you not be conformed to this world? But be transformed by the renewing. You notice some, it didn't just say one time. Re means what? Over and over and over and over. So renewing of your mind, where are you going to renew your mind in? God's word, right? That you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And this is not three different wills. Oh, you know, God's got his good will for you. He's got his acceptable will for you. And he's got his perfect will for you. No, this is all of God's will is good, perfect, and acceptable. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians 2:11 through 13. So anyway, after today's, let me know what you think about the message, because I'm going to be giving it next week out there, because it's a different group. As you know how we exhorted, that's like a gentle kind of trying to get someone to apply, you know, God's truth. How we exhorted, and see, some need that. A little bit of a gentle, so a little, sometimes it can be a little gentle correction. And then you need, got some and comforted. Some need to be comforted. They're struggling with things, you know, and then if you just get on, come on, get it together now. You're a Christian, you got the Holy Spirit. Well, there's something wrong why they're in that condition. And we should never look down on anybody unless we're helping them up, right? What does Paul say in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, I think? That if anyone's caught, and that idea of caught is you caught them in something, maybe, see, right away you're thinking, adultery or fornication. No, they can be caught up in false teaching. Isn't that what the book of Galatians is about? Paul's correcting them from falling under legalism. Judaizers were coming in, bringing them back under law, telling them they got to get circumcised. Today they don't say you got to get circumcised. What do they say? You got to get baptized. Got to get baptized. And see the thing up in the front of our bill? How many people got baptized? So the pastor's making his money. You know, and baptism isn't what our thing is today, but we all know Paul says there's one Lord in Ephesians 4:4-6, in the one verse it said there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. How many? One. And then I think it's 2 Corinthians 12:13, if I'm not mistaken, or 1 Corinthians, that we're all baptized by one Spirit into the body of Christ. Well, there's your baptism. That's a spiritual baptism. So what's that tell you about water baptism? Throw it out. I don't care if it's in the doctrine and the denominations. Right? That was part of Israel's program. And it was going on early in the beginning of the body of Christ, but so were sign gifts, right? Tongues and, wonders and different things in that Acts period till the Word of God got completed. So anyway, what does Paul tell us in Colossians 2:10? You are complete in Christ, right? You don't got to get anything or do anything except believe. You're saved. You have been saved. And that's in the perfect tense. It means you happen in a point of time with continuing results. So you were saved and you continue to be saved. That's eternal security, baby. Ain't you glad about that? Well, he says, I would lose. And I lose all kinds of stuff. I would lose my salvation for sure. Because I come up short every day. Bill's just waiting for me. Anyway, it's but we're saved by grace. You have been saved by grace. Through simple faith, right? Faith is, I believe, I trust. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So you hear the gospel, Paul says, right? And you're the gospel of your salvation, haven't believed, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So that throws out somebody saying, you get Jesus, you get saved, then seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? You got the Holy Spirit. You're complete in Christ. See, when you know you're blessed with every spiritual blessing the moment you trust in Christ, because you've learned to rightly divide the word, right? And you don't get caught up in every wind of doctrine that's blowing through the church. Ooh, a new move of the Holy Spirit. Let's do the Holy Spirit wave. You know how they do at football games? That's what people are doing there because they know they're not experiencing the power of the resurrection. That's what the Holy Spirit produces. He takes what Christ did, and as we appropriate by faith, we believe it and we step out on faith and act upon it, then the Holy Spirit makes that real in our experience. And that's up to us. That's part of growing. So you can know a bunch of stuff up here, right? You ever meet somebody who got a college degree and never used it? They know a bunch of stuff, but they ain't busting a grape. Because they ain't using it, right? They ain't turning toilet paper. See, we study, so why? What do I always say? We rightly open up the Word of God, let's rightly divide it, why? So we can apply it. And we have to be urged and exhorted and sometimes comforted. You know, I don't know if I should use my wife for an example. Yesterday, she started feeling anxiety. And I said, honey, you know the verses. Take every thought captive. I said, Satan will attack us, and he'll use fear, flaming darts. And you gotta what? Pick up that shield of faith, right? It'll quench him and take every thought captive, right? Take up the sword of the Spirit. See, grace believers especially, but every believer, every Christian, is in the war. There's spiritual warfare. And Satan, you know, makes up all this stuff. Them deliverance ministries, he laughs at that stuff. You know, I bind Satan, and, you know, blah, blah, blah. Open up the back door. Whoosh, my old past Pentecostal pastor used to do that. And Satan laughs at that. He goes, these Christians are so naive. But see, he don't like it when you know how to do spiritual warfare according to Ephesians chapter 6. Picking up the Spirit, praying, right? Paul says, pray without ceasing. And then he says, praying for one another. You know, he don't like it when we're praying for one another. I pray for you guys every day. You know, I got my list I go down every day. because I know if I'm getting attacked and going through things, you all are going through things. We need to hold each other up in prayer. And he said, persevere in it. And so, the next day we're in chapters 2, 11 and 13. As we, and you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you. See, Paul, what's he say? I give you the commands of Christ, right? So now Paul has, you know, he said to teach, he told Timothy, hold fast to that pattern of sound words, right? That's grace, what Christ gave Paul. Then he said, teach faithful men who will be able to teach other faithful men, right? And so, as Paul taught them, now they're charging them. That's like a command, you know. Or, I'm just thinking about it, charge, you know, Calvary. But it's more like a command. That you, and what is it? That you should walk worthy of God. Now, are any of us worthy of God? No. But our walk should be worthy of who God's made us. That's where Paul talks about adorning the gospel, right? Take off the old man. That ain't you no more. You're a new creation, right? Why you want to put on them old filthy rags? You know, letting the flesh express itself out of you when we don't have to. He said, put on Christ. And what your clothes do, it's what other people see. Ain't you glad for clothes? Yeah. So, you know, it's making yourself presentable. It's glorifying Christ. And so he says, that you would walk worthy of God, who has called you into his kingdom and glory. So that spiritual kingdom. For this cause, we also thank God without ceasing. So Paul's praying for these Thessalonians, right? He's thanking God for them. Do you thank God for other believers, you know? He's giving them a dirty look. That's the one you say we're a part of each other. She just told him we're a part of each other, and then she turned around and like gave a look. That's funny. I'm just playing with you. Anyway, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you received it not as the word of man. You know, people say, that's just man, the Bible's just man written. And no, God used men. It's God breathed. And you know, it's not just, you know, God inspired them, you know, he put the words in their mind and they got garbled up and they can mess up. No, all scripture, that means graphe in the Greek, the original language God breathed, it means a finished product. So God took the writers of scripture, their personality, that's why you'll see Peter writing different than Paul or Isaiah or David. You know, they're all different from all different parts, different lifestyles, right? Or, you know, Paul, remember, was highly educated under Gamaliel. Peter was a fisherman. David was a sheep herder before he became a king. God can do that with David. Imagine what he can do with you. You know, because David, he loved God. He says, so you received it not as the word of man, but as it is in truth. The word of God, which effectually works also in you that believe. That word, worketh, has the idea of energizes. So if you're feeling weak in your walk and you're not growing, what do you think? Why? According to that. So I like people to think. I don't just like them to come and listen. You're not giving yourself spiritual food, spiritual energy. So what happens then? You start getting conformed to this world. Just stay out of this word, don't focus on God and pray without ceasing. That just means stay in a prayerful mindset. Doesn't mean drive with your eyes closed in the Spirit, you know, and walking. I'm walking in the Spirit and praying. All right? It just means staying in continual, intimate, divine communication. And when we're doing this, we're going to be growing. When we're not doing this, what are we going to do? Be conforming. So in order to get more worldly, you don't got to do anything. That'll just happen. Stay out of this word. Stay out of growing in your relationship with God. And see one finger out, three back, pointed back at me. I got to remind myself, because it's easy to get lazy and not study the Word of God. It's easy to get distracted, isn't it? And not get in God's Word. It takes work. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman. And I'll give it to the ladies. Workwoman. That need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you got to study it. That takes work. You got to rightly divide it, right? And then other places, Paul tells us what? To apply it. That has God's approval. Go to Philippians 2, 12 and 13. A couple books back. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 and 13. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Listen to this. Work out. I want you to think there. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. I'm going to stop there. Did it say work for your salvation? Working out means there's something inward, right? You're a new creation in Christ Jesus if you're a believer, if you've trusted in the gospel. Now work it out. How do you do that? Studying the Word of God, focusing on Christ. We start locked on Him, our focus is fixed. We start getting transformed more and more into His image. And then we start applying the Word of God. And Holy Spirit makes it, like I said, in our experience, he makes it real. And you just start going, man, why did I wait so long? You know, it's like certain things in your life. You know, we like to hold on, I don't know if you remember a while back. It talks about Christ, like Christ, how Christ dwells in our hearts through faith. Well, sometime in our heart, you know, you got a lot of doors. Different areas of our life. Some of them like keeping locked. Oh, you're welcome. Well, but don't go in there. That's my fun room. We want Him in every part of our mind, our lives. And God wants to work in all them, because it's God who works in you both to will and to do according to His good pleasure. And when we start applying God's Word, and we know that brings Him pleasure, it brings us pleasure. Because I don't know if you got a good father, you know, but growing up, you liked when your father was proud of you. You liked when he was pleased with you. Unless you had a bad one, you liked rebelling against him. And that's how we should be. When we know God's pleased. Now, He's pleased in our identity. It doesn't matter what we do or what we don't do. God loves us. We're accepted in the Beloved. But it pleases Him when we start learning and trusting Him and walking in the Spirit and making ourselves available to Him. And fruit is being produced in our lives and in other people's lives. You know, like I said, I'm proud of my little brother. He's 6'2". I call him my little brother because grace has got a hold of his life. Now he's studying at the Berean Bible Institute. My stepson's Chris is going to start studying there. Mary's studying there. And see, it's them things because he wants to be prepared to minister. And see, God's already using him here, right? He would have been up here today. And he would have used the tall one. This one, remember Dave? He'd be down like you know, because he's so tall. Me, I'm here, and I'm like, I guess I could use that one, but I don't know. I always feel like it's all you see is my head or something. So anyway. And that's the next verse, right? So it's working out what's true inwardly. It's walking consistent with your identity that God gave you in Christ. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. You see that word, worketh? It's the same word that the word of God that worketh in you. How does God work in you then? Through his word and his spirit. Go to a second, well, we already went there. We got a couple more minutes, so what I'm trying to encourage in this is for us to redeem our time. How much time you got left before you die? Anybody know?
20.
You got 20? Hey, somebody talk to that guy after. Give him some sound doctrine. What you got? A date set for the rapture, right? Or you think the second call? He's going to write a book. Get rich at it. Anyway, none of us don't know how much time we got, right? So we need to invest what we got, right? Because it's going to be a blessing. We're going to be in heaven for a long time. And when the rapture happens, there ain't no more investing. You know? And then we're going to go before the Bema seat of Christ when he gives out rewards. And we're going to receive them places of authority, amongst other things. I think it's going to have some part of the rewards has something to do with how God can, in us, can sort of, I'll just say, sort of like a light bulb shine out of us. And I think we'll have different types of bodies that are part of the rewards, because Paul talks in Corinthians about that. Anyway, so we want to redeem our time. Go to Ephesians 5, one book back. Ephesians 5, 15 through 17. And our Apostle Paul, that gives us our commands, right? 2 Corinthians 14:37, he says, I give you the commands of Christ. So we're being Pauline here, right? What does Paul command us to? See then that you walk circumspectly. Let me stop there. What does that mean? Circumspectly. It's like somebody on a tightrope walker walking carefully. You ever see a cat on top of a fence? They're careful. You don't see cats usually falling unless there's a little ice or something. So that's what Paul's telling us. That see that you walk circumspectly or very carefully in our lives. That's the choices we make in our lives. Not as fools. That's, you know, people in the world, right? The fool has said in his heart, there's no God. Paul said, don't be like the Gentiles. That's who you were, but now you're a child of God. And he says, but as wise. So we should, and here I think we all fall short a lot, because, you know, we make them bad choices sometimes, you know? But that's growing. I'm telling you something, even the bad choices we make, Now, we don't got to make them. So don't say, well, I'll go make them because God, it's going to work it for my good anyway. You know, that's saying, shall we just go sin that grace may abound? Never. But even I think of things in my past, the drugs, the gangbanging, you know, life on the streets. Well, God worked it for my good, and I loved the Cook County ministry. Them guys would listen because of my past. But I'll tell you, I wasted a lot of years. And I remember when I started learning grace, I says, God, and I let the drugs and other stuff go. Because I got freed, I learned my identity in Christ. I said, why did I wait so long? Because now I got joy and I got peace. I got this fountain. Like that song, right, honey? I got joy like a river. I got joy like a river. And it says, no, I got peace like a river. I got peace like a river. Got joy like a fountain in my soul. I got love like an ocean. We sing that at the rehab. And I thought, why did I wait so long? Because God really has His will in our lives. And when we're walking in that, and you find it in Paul's epistles, and through all the scriptures, we learn principles. And when we're walking like that, it's a joyful life. It ain't going to be easy. We'll face things, right? But you can have joy, and you can have peace. You can have joy like a fountain. Praise God. So let me see, I got to be closing up. Yeah. Verse 16, redeeming the time. It's buying it up. We don't know how much we got because the days are evil. We live in the present evil age where Satan's the prince of the power of the air, right? But it's also the best age. It's the age of grace. You know, where we're empowered by the Holy Spirit to be able to do whatever God calls us to do. And then, just think about it. To apply that, walk consistently in that. And to me, you know, I don't just think of rewards at the Bema Seat. It's a reward for me just to be used by God to touch people's lives, to reach the lost with the gospel and change their whole eternity and their lives, and then edify and build up to be used to encourage, comfort, whatever it might be, the needs, you know. So, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Understand the will of the Lord. So I'm going to end where I started. Now we're going to close our Bibles. It's that usually I say, let's open our minds, let's open the Word of God. So now, let's close the Word of God till the pastor comes out, whatever. Let's rightly divide it. Why? So we can apply it. Don't let it stop here, what you learned today and what you're going to learn from the pastor. Put it in effect in your life, and you develop holy habits. You know, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much, Father, for the patience you have with us. Thank you for loving us unconditionally, that even at our worst, you don't love us less. And that when we're walking in your Spirit and being consistent, you don't love us more. You love us unconditionally. That your grace is an extension of your unconditional love. And I pray, Father, that these words from your Word would just pierce hearts today. And they would motivate us to walk in your Spirit and apply your grace truths in our lives. And I pray for the pastor, Father, that you would just use him exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. And if there's anyone who's not saved here, listening through CDs, watching on a DVD, or that will come to church, I pray that today your Holy Spirit would just convict their heart of their need and show them their condition so they'll come to Christ for his provision. that he died for their sins personally. He was buried and he rose, and they can be saved by grace through faith, not in themselves. It's your gift, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.